and you're just taking it, ripping it off, throwing it away. Let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles. And then, repeated, let us run. Let us run with perseverance. There's that idea again of endurance, the race that's marked out for us. And so this is another one of those themes that's prevalent throughout the book of Hebrews, this running with endurance.
You know, one of the things that passages it makes me think of there is when Paul talks about the games and how the athletes in the Olympic Games would run, you know, unhindered by garments of the world. How is that for politically correct?
So we're starting to see this bit of imagery in this passage, and we're getting our minds around this idea of what the Christian life is supposed to look like, what the Christian life is going to look like, that it's a race that we have to run with perseverance. It's a race that we have to constantly be mindful of the things that might hinder us, and we're throwing those things off.
Well, I agree with what Seb, but, you know, they'll even shave their head, all the hair on their body, so that there's no wind resistance. And then that makes me wonder, well, what is this resistance that the speaker's talking about? What is pulling them back so we can throw it off? And that's those chains and laws and entrapments that the old law had.
Sure. They're throwing off that old law, throwing off the fear of the persecution, throwing off anything that would keep them from continuing on in the Christian race. What else do we see? Let's move on into verse 2. Somebody already said, Kathy said, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Why should we look to Jesus? Why should we fix our eyes on Him? Okay? The writer has just finished talking about all these people who showed faith. Right? And so if we're going to run the Christian life, the Christian race, what are we going to have? Faith. We're going to have faith. And who is the author of that faith? Who is the perfecter or the finisher, the completer of that faith? Jesus. And so where should we look for faith? Jesus. These aren't difficult, typically, right? Jimmy, were you saying something?
No, that was me.
Okay.
Casey. I mean, you know, the interesting part about the finisher part is also the pioneer and perfecter. So, you know, he's both the beginning. You know, even though he just mentioned all those guys from the Old Testament that had, you know, tremendous faith and did something with that tremendous faith. And then, but let's not get entangled by those guys. Jesus is both the pioneer, beginning, and the perfecter.
That's right. And pioneer is an interesting word to me. Of course, I grew up reading the author and finisher of our faith. Probably a lot of you, that's what you think of. But pioneer is a good, very accurate translation. It's referring to blazing a trail. He's out in front and he's clearing it for us. And so when it comes to faith, that's what Jesus has done and continues to do. Amy.
When they fix their eyes on Jesus, they're not distracted by the world and by what is causing them to fall away. So that's also one, you know, when you fix your eyes, that's your only focus. Fix your eyes on
Jesus.
That's
right. If we take our eyes off of Jesus, then all of a sudden, those things that hinder us and those sins that entangle us, they're back. And so we have to keep our focus on Jesus. Fix our eyes on Jesus.
James.
Yes.
You said about Jesus blazing the trail. Depending on how thick the foliage was or the crowd, if we take our eyes off of him, we're going to miss him. We're going to lose sight of him.
That's right.
So we better keep our eyes on him.
Absolutely.
We need to recognize this race is like an obstacle course.
Yeah.
Not just a straight path.
Sure.
It's got obstacles. And taking your eyes off will cause you a lot of difficulties.
That's right. If we think about our kids, if I don't think they play this anymore because they got video games, follow the leader. Did you ever play that growing up? What? How good would you be at that game if you closed your eyes? Or if you just looked off to the side? You might run into a tree. You might run off a cliff. And so you keep your eyes on the leader, and that's Jesus.
And one of the comments back here from a wise lady was about it not being a sprint, it's a marathon.
That's right.
The perseverance part of that process.
That's right. It's continuous throughout. It's not a short race. It's not a short distance race. It is a lifelong race that we're engaged in. When we obey the gospel, when we become Christians, we are committing to run this race for the rest of our lives. And we are to run with endurance. Run with perseverance this race. Fixed our eyes on Jesus. What was Jesus' motivation for how he lived? What was Jesus' motivation for not turning back and calling those legions of angels to save him from the cross? What was Jesus' motivation? That's right. And verse 3 tells us, or verse 2 at the end of verse 2 tells us what that end result was, being seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so Jesus was motivated by joy, even though he was enduring the cross. Did he want to go to the cross? Was the cross something that he was going to be proud of? No, it was a shameful thing, scorning its shame, but there was no amount of shame that was going to keep him from going to the cross because of that joy that was set before him. And because he did that, he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. What's he doing there? Just a side note. What's Jesus doing at the right hand of the throne of God? He ever lives to make intercession for us. Romans 8, verse 34. And so, he's not just passive today. He didn't finish his race and retire and just sit down and relax at the right hand of God. He is still working today. I think we see a purpose statement in verse 3. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that, why do we consider him who endured such opposition from sinners? So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So you can continue to have that perseverance. So you continue to have that endurance to continue to run this race. Anybody else see anything else we want to talk about in this passage? But it's easy. It's easy to give up, right? When things continue to not go our way, when we think maybe we enter this race thinking this is going to be easy, but it's not. And so we keep getting knocked down. We get back up. We get knocked down. We get back up. We get knocked down. We get back up. We get knocked down again. So sometimes it's hard to want to get back up. Yes, Miss Betty.
Well, and we have to look at verse 1. We have that cloud of witnesses cheering us on. And so that's a real encouragement if you've ever been to a race or, you know, we all go to football games and that kind of thing. And if you look at it from that athletic standpoint.
That's right.
Say, there's something that stood out to me, and I didn't realize it at first, but it says scorning the shame of the cross. And the shame was that despicable thing. I mean, anybody killed on the cross was, that was a shameful thing. Right. It was despicable. It was worthless. And they were thought of as, you know, deserving the cross. But Jesus, in volunteering for it, he scorned it. He just did away with all that shame. He didn't scorn the cross itself. He scorned the shame that went with it. Put value on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Anybody else? Kathy.
Well, to me, one of the biggest things is for the joy set before him. And I know it was already touched on, but we can consider everything joy and just look ahead to what's going to be at the very end, because, you know, if you have that to look at, and people in the world don't have that, and often a lot of people ask Bill, why are you always so happy? And he just is, because we have that joy to look forward to, and that's something that really appeals to people outside, is if they see us happy and enjoying life and we don't have to do all that stuff out there that they're doing and they're miserable doing, and they finally say, we've run into a lot of people over the years like that, and they're like, we want that. And his joy was to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God, and our joy is to be with them.
Anybody else? That's right. When Peter was walking on the water, as long as he looked at Jesus, he was able to do it. But as soon as he was thinking about the storms and thinking about the waves, he took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink. Very good, Kobe. Yep, that's good. Any others? That's right. Jesus is certainly in a place of honor at the right hand of his Father and our Father, as Mark so aptly pointed out tonight. So we've spent 25 minutes talking about what we see. There's been a lot of comments, good comments. And so now we get to, what does it mean? What, for these people, these original readers, thinking about all these things we've talked about, how do we boil that down to a sentence or two and say, what did the author mean for these people to get from this writing?
Don't lose heart.
Don't lose heart. Endure and persevere. Now, if you're writing this down on your sheet so you can come back in 10 years and look at this sheet again, what are you going to write?
Keep on keeping on.
Okay. Right. Don't give up. Sums it up very well, doesn't it? Winston Churchill, his 7-word speech, never, 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 never give up. That's a powerful speech. You can say a lot in a few words. Lisa.
Hello. I thought it did it's a wonderful way of it communicated in a very encouraging manner. The ones that went before us, if they can do it, you can do it.
Okay.
So it connected the past to the present. And I know I'm jumping ahead of myself, but it connects to the present to us, or then to us, and on into the future,
right.
All the new converts. It flows so great.
That's right. Lisa just went from a what does it mean to a timeless truth, didn't she? If it connects from these Old Testament heroes to these first century Christians, it stands to reason that it connects from those first century Christians to us, 21st century Christians. Correct? Any others on what you might write on in the bottom section of the front page?
Well, I think we need to include why we should keep on keeping on, or why they should keep on keeping on, I guess, in this part of the process, is that because of Jesus' perspective of the eternity, you know, because of his endurance, because of all those other guys' endurance, we can throw off the stuff that hinders us, or they, I guess I should say, they can throw off the stuff that's so, I mean, all the persecution, the distractions, all that, they can be distracted from that by looking at the author and perfecter of our faith and the finish line, the eternity.
Sure. I'll tell you what I wrote. Don't write this down. The author of Hebrews encouraged these Jewish Christians to endure in their faith despite opposition. He reminds them that the only way they can endure is by focusing on Jesus himself. So I think that as we work through these things, they work themselves out, right? We can see as we, if we dive in and we say, what is the text saying? We can put those things together, break it apart, and then start putting it back together and say, this is what it means, right? That's the purpose of this study. So we flip over to the back side of our sheets. We've gotten a very good picture of what this text meant. And so now we're bringing it home to us. And so how does it relate to us? And so what principles or what principle do we see in this passage that applies to all people for all times? It applied certainly for them and still applies today. Okay, Christians must remain faithful, okay?
I think one of the...
Okay.
It's a race, it's not passive.
Okay, it's a race, it's something we must do. There's action involved on our part, okay?
The thing that I see, James, is I guess it's kind of like as many cars there are on the road today and all the stuff, the phones and everything else that veers away from the driving. But anyway, it's the idea of focusing ahead and keeping your eyes focused on the road, because every time you pull your eyes off the road, our new car has a beeper. It starts crossing over. It goes beep, 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 beep. And I can't hear it, but she tells me it beeps. But we get distracted from what our goal is, and it's telling us to keep on the goal, keep focused on Christ, and do not... You know, and even though we do, we still have Christ to continue to look at every day and just stay on, just keep after, just stay focused.
That's good.
Also, that the reward is worth it.
Yes, absolutely. The reward is worth it. Where's my pen? I need to write that one down.
I think one of the things it reminds me of is change is not easy. Change is a real tough thing. And these folks were Hebrews, and they became Christians. And it's really easy to slip back from this new position back into the old position. And it's the same for us today. We're mired in sin and we're baptized. And we put on Christ. And it's very easy sometimes to just slip back into those old patterns that we were so used to and comfortable in before. And so change is not an easy thing, but it can be accomplished.
Mm-hmm. Well, what Mark was saying, we're influenced by everything. And it's either good or bad. And just like I was talking about the other day, every good thing starts with a thought, every bad thing starts with a thought. And so we have to monitor ourselves. And I believe the Bible says something about testing everything. And I believe that's what our command is here. But he's saying choose the right ones. You know, choose those heroes of the faith. Don't choose that con man down on the corner.
Anybody else? Olivia.
All the people who have had to endure struggles. Everybody has to. Your struggle may seem very hard to you, but somebody else has got their own cross to bear. Christ had his cross to bear. We all get the same prize in the end if we all get on the path and look towards... Oh my gosh, now I'm... Sorry, all my thoughts just got jumbled. Okay. We all have the same prize set before us. We all will have obstacles to overcome. So everybody is able to get past those obstacles, I think is what it's trying to show us here.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because everybody had to do it before us. These people who he's talking to here, yes, you have struggles. Yes, there's hard things you're going to have to go through. These people did it too. Even Christ had to do it. They can do it. You can do it too. Your struggle is not harder than theirs. It may seem to you because it's your cross.
That's right.
But we can all get there.
That's right. Now, hang on, Bill. It's okay. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands again. Raise your hand if you've ever had a struggle or a trial or an obstacle to overcome. Everybody but Kenny. Raise your hand if you know somebody or have heard of somebody that has had a struggle similar to yours. Can you learn from that person? Can that person learn from you?
Yes.
What's the writer telling these Christians? Learn from these people who have been through these problems. These people were suffering because of their faith. Jesus suffered because he was the faith.
Yes.
Learn from them and keep the faith. Bill. He's holding it.
Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts in things above, on things above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Pulls so, right back down to what we've been talking about. But
that's right.
Dying to all the stuff on this earth that's here, but striving for what? Where Christ has headed us, and that's to God.
That's right. Kathy.
Philippians 4:13. I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength.
Amen. This race is so much better than a normal race because everyone can win.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
This race allows
I'm going to ask you a question about Bible study. Bill quoted another passage that's not our text. Kathy quoted a passage, not our text. Jimmy referenced a passage, not our text. Is that okay when we're studying the Bible? It's more than okay, right? It's encouraged. What's the best way for us to interpret Scripture? Using Scripture, right? Scripture is the best interpreter of Scripture. And so if we put things together that are similar, if we look at, and we might do that with this. If we're studying this on our own, we might say, oh, it's talking about a race. I know the Bible says more about running a race, comparing the Christian life to a race. And so we look for every instance where the Christian life is compared to running a race, and we study those, and we put all those things together. That's just good Bible study, isn't it? And so let's encourage that among one another to look in other places. Look for these cross-references. Look for supporting passages in other books and chapters of the Bible. Very good.
One that was referenced back here was the letter to the in Revelations to the church in Ephesus, where they were commended for all that endurance stuff and all that, but they had lost their first love. They'd forgot the whys and the end game.
Right, you've got to run the race to the finish. You can't stop short. You've got to keep on going. Kathy.
I think the ultimate question that we're talking about is how does it relate? And when we first became Christians, we thought, wow, this is really, really hard to think about this. But these people were pretty new, too, in the faith, and they were losing hope. And that's why they were trying to go back. And so it's good to relate their struggles with what we are struggling with and what others are struggling with. And so it's the timeless truth that leads us, that connects these, the old and the new. Because there are so many people today that says, these old men wrote those things. They don't make any, they don't even relate to us at all. And these are good things to be talking to non-Christians about. It does relate, does pertain to us, what they wrote. And this is just really one good scripture one good set of scriptures that is good to help with a study with new people trying to learn the truth.
I'm going to give you another scripture right quick, and that's in Galatians, the 5th chapter, just about what you was talking about a minute ago. It says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery.
In our day and time, you look at verse 1 and talk about throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And when we think about the information age that we live in, there is so much to throw off. There is so much that can so easily entangle us. It's one of the reasons I like to read Ecclesiastes a lot, because everything that we get hit with, the wisest guy in the world got hit with. And he drew some pretty important conclusions after testing all those things, and we get tested by all those things on a similar scale.
I'm applying some of this to me. For instance, I'm getting older, and so it's so easy to start out this race enthusiastic and with your first love for Jesus, real strong and powerful. As we age, sometimes we forget and we lose that passion. And it's easy to do when you lose energy and you lose, or maybe you've gone through some surgery and you're feeling down and your brain feels dead. And so I think about it as, okay, we've got to pick up and persevere. The race is not through. The line is way over there. It's not right here. And so I think that we have to apply that to our lives, that this is a lifelong race.
This is an old saying from the civil rights movement, and I always say it to myself, keep your eye on the prize.
think it's important, too, that we don't lose sight of how sometimes when we feel like we get caught up in the race or that's us going through that, what that looks like for a Christian versus non-Christian and the impact if we put this to work in our own lives, even though we may be stumbling or even though we may be going through our battle, we're still, if we go through it with our eyes fixed on Jesus, have that much more of an impact to make on those who are non-believers. Because if you look at somebody else going through the same exact thing you're going through that's not a Christian, I guarantee you it looks completely different than what, although it's the same, it may be the same thing that Satan throwing your way, it looks very different as long as we keep our eyes focused on him.
Mm-hmm. We're starting to get down into this last step, this what do I do step. And so let's go on down there. We've got just a few minutes left. These questions, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it, they're meant to be personal questions. And so don't ever, on this section, don't ever feel like you have to share these with the class. But I think that it would be good for us to share these. Because especially one like for this passage, they're very, this is a very practical passage for us today. And I think we would do well to talk with one another about what do we do in light of this meaning? How does this passage impact our lives? And so we've got this list of questions. The first one is, who should I be? Faithful Christian. Fully focused on Jesus Christ, right? Fully focused on him in every facet of our lives, but in light of this passage, especially in the midst of our trials, right? We must remain faithful regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our situation. And that's a pretty general, but also very personal. We need to make that personal to us. When we're faced with difficulties, when we're faced with trials and persecution even, we need to remember, I must focus on Jesus. I must be faithful to him. Kathy?
We should also be an encourager to others.
Okay. Be an encourager to others. Absolutely. We see that. That's the example that the writer here is using this cloud of witnesses, these heroes of faith, as an example. And so we can look to others for examples, but we also should serve as an example and an encouragement to others. How should I think in light of this passage, in light of the meaning of this passage, how should I think? Okay.
Can I go back real quick?
Yes.
Who should I be? A future member in the cloud of witnesses. I want to be sitting next to Abraham or to Paul in that stadium surrounding all of the current Christians that are running that race, saying, go for it, go, go, go.
That's a great answer. How should I think?
Victoriously.
Victoriously. We, not can win, we have won because of Christ.
Eternally.
Eternally. Think about what's ahead. Joyfully. Lots of adverbs. I love it. Let's think about our life in light of the trials that Jesus suffered, in light of what all those heroes of faith went through. Let's get Jesus' perspective on our trials. What are our trials in comparison to his? So let's think joyfully, victoriously. What was the other one? Eternally. Sorry, Casey. I didn't forget you.
You know, one of the things that I thought about, too, when you kind of worked through the cloud of witnesses didn't have Jesus. But yet, look what they did and how what they accomplished and, you know, ultimately the verbs. Because of their faith, they did something. And then, but yet, we have a much clearer picture of the end game than they ever did.
Right. And even in Hebrews 11, the writer says, they didn't receive the promise in this life, but they looked to that promise. The promise has come, and we continue to look to Him.
And thinking victoriously, eternally, and joyfully, I'm thinking about approaching people to become more like Christ and bring them to church and a prayer group and anything else that's good like that.
That's right. Bud got into the next one. What should I do?
Yeah.
What should I do? And that is one thing. Be an encourager. Surround yourself with people that you can be an encouragement to and that can be an encouragement to you. Put on the whole armor of God, Miss Paula said. Stand against the wiles of the devil. That's certainly something we must do. You see, that is something that we can put on that will not hinder us, that will aid us in running this race. Anybody else? What should I do? Be a servant. Where should I go? And remember, you may not get an answer to all these questions. You probably can get an answer to all these questions, but not every passage is going to answer all of these questions. But where should I go? Okay? Everywhere. To the world. I said I'll gather with other Christians who can help encourage and support me through my trials, and I can support them. Sure. That's right. And we have to recognize that, and I hope that we do, that Christianity is not a religion of comfort. If you're comfortable as a Christian, then are you really a Christian? Read the scriptures. Who was comfortable as a Christian? Were any of those heroes of faith comfortable?
The Pharisees were.
The Pharisees were comfortable. They were proud of themselves. So we need to recognize that we will have to stretch ourselves a little bit and do things that maybe we're not always, we don't feel comfortable doing, but we have to be what God would have us to be. Who will I teach?
Everyone.
See, you know, that's going to be the answer every time, these, right? Where will I go? Everywhere. Who will I teach? Everyone. And so if we're going to write that every time, let's do it. How about that? If you're going to write that every time, let's do it. Thank you for your participation tonight. Bill's got one more thing.
Before everybody gets out of here, the men's retreat at Toledo Bend, Friday night and Saturday, and James will be speaking on Saturday. So if you get a chance, you want to would like to come listen to James and support James, it'd be a good thing on Saturday. But I'll be cooking breakfast Saturday morning, and you may not want to get into that. But anyway, they're gonna have a fish fry on Friday night, and a speaker. They'll be having some lessons on Friday night, and then Saturday. And we'll be finished by noon. So I'm just letting you know if you would like to come up to Toledo Bend Church of Christ.
Next week in here, on September 5th, we're going to start a study through the book of Genesis, through the entire Bible, but we're starting with Genesis. Next week, we'll begin looking at an overview and background of the book of Genesis. So if you want to do some homework for this week or for next week, do some digging on the background of Genesis, the author, the date, the some of the events, the big picture of Genesis, and that's what we'll be discussing next week.